Welcome to the Salem Emerging Leaders Podcast, presented by the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. Here are your hosts, Jacob Espinoza and Zachary Zalicki.
We are back at the New Leader Workshop, and the city of Salem got hit with some pretty tough news over the weekend. Incredible community member, Jerry Frank, passed away, and our good friend Zach Zalicki, I know you were close with him, your family was close to him, and the focus of this podcast is really honoring his legacy and telling his story. I think for a lot of people, they really looked up to this man. They saw him as a mentor, but I think we have other people in our community that didn't know much about him. So I thought it'd be awesome for the people that knew him well to have an episode focused on a man that they really did admire. But then also for people that weren't really aware of who he was to learn a little bit about Jerry Frank. And I know this is probably going to be a challenging episode for you because of how close you were and how you felt about him and how fresh this is. But Zach, we appreciate you being willing to share your story here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, any time you get an opportunity to talk about a special individual like Jerry Frank, you know, got to take that opportunity. For a lot of people that didn't know Jerry, a little history on kind of him and his family. His great-grandfather, I think it was his great-grandfather, traveled here from California on foot and settled in Portland, Oregon before Oregon was even a state. And he started a department store, which eventually turned into Meyer and Frank. And he was a third-generation owner of that company. Absolutely amazing life story. Jerry's in, his alone. He was born in 1923, and he served in World War II. He was actually in General Patton's army, which is pretty incredible.
It's amazing.
He was selected. So during World War II, after the war ended, there was an individual or two individuals, I believe, from each state that were selected to go study at Oxford University in England. And he was one of the individuals from Oregon, or maybe just the only individual, which is incredible. And then he went and studied at Stanford University. After all of that, he went and ran the Meyer and Frank store here in Salem. And, that eventually he ended up selling the company, I believe, in like the 1960s, still owned the property, buildings and everything. Macy's bought him out, to my understanding. Just an absolutely incredible guy. If you look at, if anyone had the opportunity to go and look in his office, I mean, he had letters written to him from Mother Teresa thanking him for his service. Like, they would send letters back and forth. Mother Teresa, to give people some understanding of, like, the scope of influence and connections that he had. After he, sold the department store, Meyer and Frank, he went and he was the chief of staff for Senator Mark Hatfield out in D.C. And that's when kind of my family became close with Jerry. So my dad actually interned when he was, I believe, 22 years old in Mark Hatfield's office. And my grandfather knew Jerry. They served on a board together. And my dad made my grandfather made the connection for my dad. And my dad went and met with Jerry at his office and said, write me a letter on why you think you deserve this opportunity. So Dad wrote the letter, got the opportunity, and spent a summer out there. That was in, I believe, it was in 1981. It was the first summer that Reagan was in office when my dad was out there. And, what's another really funny story, too, is by law, Jerry had to get paid to be to be chief of staff. And so he made a deal with Mark that he'd get paid $1 a year to be the chief of staff for Mark Hatfield. In that time, Jerry became close with Reagan. He was close at the time with Nixon as well. I mean, just a bunch of former presidents, pretty spectacular stuff. And, there's stories that I've heard. I know for Tom, for example, Tom Hoffert here at the chamber had a good relationship with Jerry as well growing up. And Tom was driving Jerry. I think they spent a couple of days over at the beach for some event. And was driving back, and I believe this is in the 1990s, and Bill Clinton calls Jerry on the phone and asks him for some advice on some type of policy. So to give people an understanding on this, again, the scope of influence in the kind of individual that Jerry was, I mean, it's insane. So my dad, you know, my family was the first one to have that connection with Jerry. And then Jerry in, goodness, 1983 or 1982, opened up the Conditorei with my grandfather, Barney Rogers. And then my mom eventually started working there a couple years later. So that kind of continued that relationship within my family. Just an incredible individual. Growing up, I had the opportunity of job shadowing Jerry for one day. The first time I did it, I was 8 years old until I was 15. And I'd go get a new suit the day before with my mom, and I would, you know, spend the day with Jerry. And what was so cool is he would always make that day, you know, we would go have lunch with governors or the very first time I was 8 years old, I had lunch with Betsy Johnson, who's now running for governor. And so I built that relationship with her at a young age, and Betsy would always call me and be like, hey, you're going to be my date for this event or that event. But yeah, Jerry, it's funny. I remember when I would serve at the Conditorei and he would come in, there's two things he would always get. He would either, get a hot dog, or he would get, three things. A bacon sandwich, which wasn't even on the menu. It was two things of toasted wheat bread with butter and strips of bacon on it, or he would get the turkey salad with crackers and fruit. And he was one of the things that I think really set that I remember so vividly is he called me over one time. He'd always sit at the same table, and you know, he waved me over and he was like, Zach, you need to make sure that the toilet paper in the bathroom is going from top to bottom and not, you know, from the bottom up, because it's not classy if it's from the bottom up. And it's just those little things. I remember thinking, like, that is so bizarre. But that's what, you know, that's the way he approached, you know, his business. He approached anything that he did was just, it's attention to detail.
So what was it like for people that interacted with Jerry? What was their experience like? And then what was his focus usually in those conversations?
You know, I think Jerry knew that he had this kind of aura of, you know, people understood, especially kind of the older generation, of his significance. And he would, you know, when he would come into the Conditorei, he would go around table to table and talk with people and have a little conversation with them. And I know for so many customers, they would come in, you know, the next time they come in, that's all they would talk about. They'd talk about that with me. Like, oh my gosh, Jerry came up and talked with us. I mean, he was he was a legend. He's the one and only first citizen of the state of Oregon. He's an individual that carried a lot of clout. And with that, you know, he would use a lot of his time after he was, you know, done with DC, helping fundraise for different organizations. He helped raise $1 million to get the Kroc Center here. I heard some number. It was like little over $500 million he helped raise for organizations throughout his life, throughout the state of Oregon, mostly Portland and Salem. But yeah, he's just absolutely an incredible individual. And he, you know, he was, you know, a very humble guy, understood the, you know, the significance of interacting with people, you know, and creating different memories for everyone. There's a famous, I shouldn't say famous story, but a lot of people, if you ever had the opportunity of going into his office, one thing he would do, and I remember Shani Starr at our Emerging Leader Summit talked about this. And I literally, like, during the panelist portion of it, and I started laughing. He had in his office this drawer specifically just for marbles, and there were little globes on it. And he would, you know, say, close your eyes, put your hand out. He'd put the marble in your hand. You open your eyes. He's like, what do you have in your hand? And, you know, people think, oh, it's a marble. He's like, no, you got the world in your hand. And so it's like those little things, those little memories that he would create for people that had significance and had, you know, a way of, you know, putting an impression in people's minds of like, wow, there's opportunity, you know, there's hope and stuff like that. It's just those little things like that. It's really special.
So you talked about the attention to detail being something he really focused on. Based on your experiences working with him and just, you know, being involved in his life, like what were some of his core principles that he lived by?
You know, I think going back to that, just attention to detail, cleanliness was always super important. He cared a lot about his health. I mean, there's part of the reason why he lived to be, you know, 98 years old. He would eat an artichoke a day, and he would often tell people, he's like, that's, you know, that's how you keep good health. Eat artichoke a day. Always knowing that the impression that you have on people, you know, oftentimes, I mean, you only have one opportunity to give someone a first impression of yourself. And another thing that I know he would, one of the things that I really loved working at the Condito is him and I would always talk about politics. And he's one of the individuals, even as he got, you know, older in his age, he would always get really deep with somebody about a specific issue. And he would almost challenge you to make sure that you're not speaking on something you don't really know anything about, but he wouldn't do it in a mean way. But, you know, you talk about economics and, you know, I would bring up a specific subject within economics. And then he would be like, well, why do you think it's that way? Well, why do you think it's that way? And then maybe push back a little bit and, you know, provide a different perspective on something. So you put a lot of emphasis on this idea of like speak knowledgeably about things, especially when you're sharing it with other people. And that's something in my mind that I've held on to when I talk, you know, about any issue is, you know, I'm not going to speak out of terms, you know, and try to talk about something I really don't know. I can give kind of my perspective, my understanding, but, you know, having that knowledge and that power of your own knowledge to say like, hey, I may know a lot about a specific subject, but there's always something more to learn about. Work ethic's a huge thing for him. Huge thing. He would, a lot of my interactions is, you know, were mostly around the Conditorei. But he would notice individuals that are working exceptionally hard, you know, cleaning the little things when you're not being asked, or giving really good customer service. He would come up and reward those individuals with gift cards to Macy's. So for him, you know, it's really going above and beyond, and, you know, that character principle of like working hard is not only working hard when someone's around, but it's doing it at all times. Super caring, giving individual. Another fun memory. I remember I was at Chemeketa and I just got out of class and I had a missed call from Jerry. And at first I was like, oh crap, did I do something wrong? And he left me a voicemail. He's like, hey, I need you to come to my office. And I was like, oh, that's really weird. I hope I didn't, make a customer mad or something. And I called my mom. I'm like, do you know why Jerry's calling me? And she's like, yeah, just call him back. So I call him back. I'm like, hey, Jerry, how you doing? And he's like, I'm doing good. I need you to come to my office. And he was very short. And I was like, okay, I'll head there right now. And I get there and he has a magazine. It's the 1859 magazine. And he opens it up and it's a picture of me at the Conditorei and it's a whole article on it. And he's like, you know, I thought this was super special and, you know, you're doing great work there. So I just wanted to share this with you. And I was like, oh, that's super cool. In my office, I actually have a letter that he wrote me, and it was on July 23rd, 2013. And apparently there was some customer at the Conditorei that thought I did a good job and wrote Jerry and said, hey, this young man, Zachary, just, you know, helped me out, had a really good customer service. So he wrote me a note that, and there's actually a quote in it that I often use in emails, when I'm connecting to people. And it says, you know, your work ethic and, your attitude will pay major dividends in your future endeavors. And it's that paying major dividends in your future endeavors that I love. I love that quote. And I have it framed, and right underneath it, I have a little like metal hand that has a thumbs up, because that's one thing Jerry would always do. Walk by, hey, Jerry, how's everything going? So the Conditorei again. And he just sit there and put his thumbs up and just look at you just like that. So, I have those two things that I always look at and remember. But one of the things, what's funny is I remember being at his birthday up in Portland. This was, goodness, his 96th birthday. Yeah, because it wasn't last year. I think it was his 96th birthday. Took a, It was at the Oregon Historical Society, and I think Dick Withnell got a bus for a bunch of people to go up there. And it was just incredible to see the like who was in that room, and people would have an opportunity to kind of go around and, you know, say a few words about Jerry and who he was. And it was at that moment that I realized, you know, I had that relationship with Jerry at a young age, and he's an individual I would always go to and say, hey, I'm interested in X, Y, or Z thing. Who should I talk to? And he would always, you know, be like, I'm going to call so-and-so right now and set up a meeting with you and them. And he was someone that was just an incredible connector, not just in Salem, but within really the state of Oregon for the most part. And I realized, I was like, he's done this for so many individuals, you know, throughout the state of Oregon. And that's a powerful, you know, quote unquote, for lack of a better term, weapon to have, power to have of like, if there's someone that's ambitious and interested in a specific subject or topic or career, like he would do all he could to make sure that those people had the right connections and opportunities to chase that dream down. And, you know, there's really, you can leave behind, you know, money and material objects for people, but those things, those connections and that his advice, I mean, doesn't even come close to the, you know, that stuff is much more powerful, influential, memorable, and valuable to people than, you know, little specific objects or things. And just an incredible, incredible individual.
I saw a quote yesterday or recently, and it said, there's two people that you need to keep happy, yourself at 8 years old and yourself at 80 years old. And if you're doing things that would make both of those two people proud and happy, you can be pretty confident you're living a life that's aligned with values. And it seems like he kind of had that motto as well of just like, do the things that need to get done, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for us as a community to think about, like, who are the next generation of Jerry Franks, right? You can never fill those shoes. But if we try to, like, we make that the goal, and even if we get a little bit close, right? Like, that's pretty impressive. Because we need people that are invested in the community. We need people that are making connections outside of the community that so they can be the connectors
mm-hmm.
for the future leaders of Salem. And I think we have people that are doing a good job, but I think we have people that are ready to step up. And I think this is a call to action, like figure out what it's going to take for you personally to define your success, take action with humility and work ethic and make things happen. Because if you're making things happen for yourself, it'll be easier for you to give back to your community. If you have an empty cup, it's going to be more challenging. You know, if you're not taking care of yourself first, it's going to be hard to be there for the people around you. And I think we can look at Jerry Frank as an example of somebody that made great things happen for himself and his family, but was able to make incredible things happen for the community as well. I mean, look at this incredible amphitheater we have now
mm-hmm.
to enjoy, which is going to mean even more this summer to have that available. So,
yeah, there's, you know, that's one of the things, you know, I discussed early on with the emerging leader stuff is like we have to create some kind of system that would inspire people to build the bridge of the gap of the old guard, you know, the Jerry Franks, the Dick Withnells, the Bud Pierces, the Larry Tukarskis, the individuals like that in our community that, you know, have done so much and continue, you know, even, you know, throughout their life to just continue to give and put others before themselves. You know, and that's what, you know, kind of what we're doing is how can we inspire, you know, kind of the new guard to, you know, to be there one day. I do have my wallet on me. I just changed my wallet, so I may not have it, but I often carry around a little laminated card that has a list of people that have always inspired me in the community. There's Jerry, I think's the first one. There's Selma, Bud, Larry, and Dick Withnell. And Gary Epping. And it just has their names on one side. On the other side, it says, to whom much is given, much is expected. And I know that's something that Dick Withnell, he carries around something similar in his wallet. That's what made me think of doing that. But, you know, you always have to think about, like, what little things can I do now to you know, to be a little bit more like those individuals, and not to put them in this like higher pedestal, like they're a god or anything like that, but their character has made, in their efforts, have made incredible, incredible contributions to the city of Salem. I mean, and not for selfish purposes, but, you know, to help others. And a lot of that stuff goes unseen and untalked about. And, you know, they don't need their name up in lights. They don't need the recognition and the appreciation. They don't do it for those reasons, but they do it because they know it's the right thing to do. And I think that's so valuable. And especially in today's world where, you know, we do something awesome, we want that recognition, right? Like we want our name up to be up in lights. But you look at those individuals, they always did it selflessly. And it's those individuals that I aspire to be like, and I hope, you know, I think others do as well.
I love that idea of the card and having that quote on it and carrying it around. And I also think of the events we're throwing, and I have no doubt that people will look back in 15 and 20 years that are now a millionaire to that time, making lots of money, giving a ton back to the community, and are able to say, like, remember when we met at an Emerging Leader event?
Mm-hmm.
Remember we met at the coffee social? Remember we met at that virtual networking event? Like, I have no doubt, because that's who we're focused on right now. We're putting out the bat signal of these people that are ready to like step up and have a major impact. Like, we're going to get together and we're going to honor the legacy of the people in our community that have done great things and carry the city forward to a place that maybe they didn't even think possible.
Yeah.
You know, but it really takes people that are optimistic and ready to put the work ethic in and ready to come together and be humble and understand that we all want to be successful, but not at the expense of others.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually are going to be better off when we're able to also contribute to the people around us.
That's the goal, man.
I want to print out those. I'm going to print out business cards that have a quote on it. We'll have to figure out the one. Like, what's the quote that's going to be like the emerging leader, like, motto? I love the one that you said. Maybe we'll use that one, but just have it and give them to people. Like, hey, keep this in your wallet because this is what we're about.
Yeah. No. And I know for the quote, the reason I chose that quote too, that was Selma's quote. That's her and Bud's quote was, to whom much is given, much is expected.
I love it. I do want to call out also, like the list of names that Zachary read out, they're all guys, right? We want some women.
Except for Selma.
Except for Selma, yes. So we want more women represented in that group as well, right? So I don't want this to feel like this is a boys' club. This is absolutely not a boys' club. This is for everybody that's ready to work hard and wants to be successful. This is for people that maybe are starting to see something in themselves where they know they're called for a bigger purpose. They're called to do more. But maybe you're just not quite sure, you know, what that step is or how to take that next step. And we're here to support that mm-hmm. mission. We're here to help push people forward and elevate everybody in our community. This is not for one specific type of person at all. You know, we're inviting the young people in Salem to get together and make great things happen.
Absolutely.